Used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA, produced his first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice president of ABC. Yeah, that's right. He's a motherfucking G. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, and thank you, Arnie. That's my son for my Father's Day rap song, which I really enjoy, and I can use with impunity because I don't have to worry about YouTube busting me like they do if you use any music you're not supposed to. So welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. You can tweet me at Bruce Allen. And it is time for Therapy Rap with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who is celebrating the beginning of her second year on my show. She is a psychologist and parent coach with a ton of experience. She has a wonderful website called theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Jennifer.
Thank you. It has been a fun ride with you this past year.
Well, good. And it's, God willing, it will continue. And I do want you to come out west sometime soon or to Park City so we can finally meet in person at some point. I really feel like I know you so well, and I know when we have a face-to-face, it will be nothing but just enhancing what's already a great relationship.
I love it.
So the entitlement generation is the topic for Dad Chat tonight, and I imagine in your practice you are facing many situations with parents that have, in fact, entitled their kids, spoiled their kids, and or the parents themselves have a sense of entitlement. And I would love your thoughts on this, in my opinion, very, very large problem in our country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you nailed it. In my practice, I see it often on both sides, you know, with the parents or with the children or the teenagers themselves. And, you know, when I began looking into this as a topic and I saw how much literature is published on the new me generation and how entitled they are, and it kind of reminded me of how the baby boomer generation used to be blamed for the same thing. And there was just so much finger pointing and blaming government, blaming parents, blaming technology and social media. I even saw on Fox News that Mr. Rogers was getting blamed because he taught us all when we were little that we're special just for being us, and how that fostered an inflated sense of self that has led to the entitlement generation. And I find all of that, just personally, to be very disempowering, all the finger-pointing and blaming. My interest is always less in whose fault it is or how the new generation is worse than the previous. It's always a matter for me about what we can do about it. And I think it's more important that parents understand that just because you're raising a child in an entitled generation doesn't mean you have to have entitled children. And there are a lot of things you can do to prevent that from happening and foster more of the positive attributes that counter entitlement. That's what I would focus on.
Pray tell, you have a list?
You know I have a list.
Oh, my gosh. You do? Really?
It's anything but color-coded. I mean,
okay.
I love lists and systems.
Well, I want to get to your list, but I do want to make a comment on your preamble, which is that I believe, as a boomer, and I can say this with the experience of having been a boomer all my life, I believe we're as responsible as any for the current state of affairs. After all, it's boomers that are in power in all major industry, boomers that lead the government, boomers that teach our kids for the most part. So, and boomers in many cases are now parents, although some are becoming grandparents. In my case, that'll probably happen when I'm 99. But so I do blame a lot of what's going on for what began in the 60s generation. But that's my aside. So let's get to your list. What can we parents do to fight this problem?
I agree with your aside wholeheartedly, and I'm just glad to hear you say that. And yes, let's go on to the list. It's really important, if you're going to counter all the influences of the entitlement generation, and it's really hard to compete with all the influences, there's a lot of things you need to be doing at home on sort of a core level. And one of them is raising children to value values, not stuff. And values include respect, integrity, honesty, hard work, equality, whatever it is your values are, it's less important what they are. It's more important that you know what they are and you're present to them as a family. In fact, I highly recommend as a family activity creating a list of family values together and then making that into a visual, like a board, a poster board, somehow making it artistic or decorative and hanging it in a sort of common area of the house.
Yeah, make it like an infographic. It could be really cool.
You can do so much with something like that. Magazine clippings, mm-hmm. you know, as long as everyone's fingerprints, so to speak, are on it. So it's something that's, you know, a collective as a family. Because when you value stuff, stuff does not lead to happiness. In fact, it seems like the people with the most stuff tend to be the least satisfied.
Absolutely, because every time you need you get stuff, you need more stuff.
Exactly.
It's like George Carlin's great routine, which I love about stuff. You know, for what it's worth, just to interrupt you for a moment, I heard a statistic recently about the current generation of kids, and I wonder if you heard it too. And it said something like 30% of all teenagers have stolen physical items from stores without thinking there was anything wrong with it. 30%, basically a third. That's a staggering number of kids stealing physical items. It's one thing, we know they're stealing music and they think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we know they're downloading pirated copies of television, movies, and other things that are basically taking money away from the artists that produce them. But this physical stealing, in the sense that there's nothing wrong with it, that statistic blew me away.
Yeah, I mean, as a consumer of research, I would definitely be curious to look at the study and make sure it was done in a way that can extract really valuable information. But if that's true,
mm-hmm.
We have to look at what we've done as a culture to create an environment where there's a lack of awareness of the impact that our decisions have on others that we can't see or feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're affecting someone in a level that you can't experience in the moment. When you steal from someone, like music, or you know, you download free movies, that you know, all of that stuff, you don't see the immediate effect, and it can feel like there is no effect, but there is.
Of course, there is.
But we're numb to it.
Yes, yes. It's a big problem. I've written about it as well. But so continue on with your list and finish the last one if you didn't.
Oh, that was finished. I think the next one is teaching children to know the difference between their wants and their needs. And marketing, you know, the way that commercials are designed to blur the lines between what we want and what we need.
You bet.
So they're designed to take something that's either a want or something we don't even know that we want yet, create that want and that desire, and make us feel that we need it in order to have happiness or to ever have whatever they're promising us in that commercial. And when children don't know the difference between their wants and their needs and everything feels like a need, they're doomed to be dissatisfied. You can't create a life of fulfillment not knowing the difference. And parents can contribute to that or prevent that from happening in some ways at home. If you're giving them everything that they want, if you've accused your child of being spoiled, like it's their fault, and you have a young child, you really need to look at what you're doing to contribute that. If your child's expecting things to be given to them without effort or work, you may have been teaching them that. And
you
so
bet.
It starts at home.
You bet.
I see car commercials that promise parents that your child will think you're cool if you buy this car. And I think that's really sad when that becomes something that a parent really is focused on. Like, I want my child to be happy and proud of me when we pull up at carpool, so I've got to get this cool car. I think that's really sad.
And I think it's quite common. I am guilty of having done that with almost every new car purchase I did. I would surprise my kids by picking them up in the new car at school. They'd be looking for the old car, and then they'd see the new car and go, oh, wow, Dad, wow, how cool, how cool. And in subtle ways, we're only encouraging that sense of entitlement. And it's also interesting in my case, having raised the boys alone for a number of years, when I remarried and their stepmother entered their lives, I had an objective view, an objective point of view from her that has regularly challenged me on, you know, spoiling my boys when I just didn't even think I was doing so. So mm-hmm. That's the other problem. Many parents think they're doing the right stuff and in many ways are not, and not even realizing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we often don't see our own behavior clearly as we see others when we start doing the finger pointing. But it's a matter of mindfulness. You need to look at your own behavior and your own parenting choices and see what's working and what's not working and what you're willing to be doing differently.
Hmm. We only have about a minute left in this segment. Do you want to begin your next item, or do you want to carry it over and just ramble for a little bit? Tell us about your recent travel experiences.
Yes, I definitely think we should carry it over to the next segment. And I have been traveling a lot lately.
But you've been driving, haven't you?
We've been going up to the Catskills, which we do a lot every summer. And then before that, we were in Bermuda for about 5 days.
Okay, so how was the airport, the flying portion of that trip?
You know, it's so interesting. We actually chose a cruise that departs from New Jersey, which is the state that I live in, because the idea of having to skip the airport was so appealing to me that I looked for trips where I could just drive to the port, load all my stuff on the ship, and never have to go through the airport.
And the same thing, it came back to the same port?
Exactly.
Wow. Oh, so
that
you
was
have
the appeal.
You haven't had to deal with an airport in a while. Lucky you.
No, not since December of 2012, I don't miss it.
We have booked a very major trip, which I'll tell you about at the end of the year, but we will be returning. We'll be flying to Dubai to start, then we will be flying home from South Africa. And I've flown home from South Africa before, and it was 54 hours and 3 stops. So the trip itself is going to be 32 or 34 days in the middle. But the bookends are going to be torturous, I suspect. Anyway, we will be back after these messages. Continue on with your entitlement list of what parents can do to help their kids be less spoiled. Stay tuned.
Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with a dope wife. Soon after has a revelation, reinvents his life.